The Texans have a new backup quarterback. They signed former Bills and Raiders quarterback A.J. McCarron. Mark Vandermeer is in with us. Mark, did he have any other options? How did this come about?
I look at it from his standpoint, guys, and I went over every team in the league. And once you have stuff happening like Ryan Tannehill going to Tennessee, if you're A.J. McCarron and you want to start, there's really nowhere to go. You know, there's nowhere to go where you can flat out win the job. There might be situations where, all right, if I go to Jacksonville, if that was an option at all, maybe Nick Foles flames out and I can play. But everybody's got their guy, pretty much. And you want to go to a place where the starter could possibly falter if you're him and you could get a chance to play. Arizona's going to draft a player. You know, Miami, even now that they've signed Fitzpatrick, you know, they're going to draft a guy anyway. Fitzpatrick's a bridge player. So, bridge player, like my parents used to play. I don't even know how to play bridge. Anyway, you have a situation where there's really no great place to go, so you might as well come here, you know, and you could weigh them out differently, if you will. Deshaun Watson obviously is the guy here, and you're going to do all you can. From a Texan standpoint, I love it because, you know, Brandon Whedon, great and everything, and we all remember what he did in 2015. I'll always be grateful for that, winning the Colts game, coming off the bench and doing that, beating them up there for the first time ever, winning that start against Tennessee. But, you know, it's good to have a younger player in here who's really hungry to play. Not that Whedon wasn't, but really hungry to play, knows that he's potentially still on the rise in his career, might be a starter someday somewhere. So he's going to prep in a maybe different way and provide some, for lack of a better word, competition for Watson. Not that he's going to compete for the starting job, but there's going to be this like other hen in the hen house kind of thing going on, and I think that's going to be pretty cool.
You know, the one part I like about it too, which is always, it's not something you would bank on or depend on or anything, but whenever you have a viable quarterback with upside in your system, that's also trade fodder. Like, there's always the potential. Sure. If some young guy in your roster comes along and shows some promise and you like him, then all of a sudden you've got this, you've got A.J. McCarron and another team that's out there desperate for a quarterback. And shoot, Hugh Jackson is, like, at one point was a respected offensive mind before he messed up and took another head coaching job. Like, Hugh Jackson wanted him to be a starting quarterback not too long ago.
They screwed up the paperwork.
Yeah, well, supposedly.
Sashi Brown screwed up the paperwork.
They thought that Hugh Jackson wanted him, but that maybe the front office intentionally sabotaged the paperwork.
All the fax machine is stuck. I hate when that happens.
And if they did, they made a great decision to do that because they would have given up some actual draft pick value for A.J. McCarron, which even though I like the move for the Texans now, would have been a debacle for Cleveland.
Sashi's getting a lot of love now, retroactively.
I want to say it was like a second or third round pick.
So a second or third round pick, potentially, is the going rate for somebody like that.
And the problem was, it was in the middle of the season. Like, the season was already a waste. It was a weird situation. With McCarron, I mean, I always wonder if you're a quarterback thinking about backing up Deshaun Watson. On one hand, you're thinking, okay, not that appealing because Watson's the franchise quarterback. He's really young. He's obviously the guy. On the other hand, you're watching the same games we all are. Watson's getting hit way too much. It's a shaky at best offensive line.
Insurance.
And you're probably thinking, hey, if I was there, maybe they wouldn't have Deshaun have taken the bus to Jacksonville, and they would have had confidence in me to start that kind of game.
Could be, depending on the opponent, depending on the situation. Hey, you guys were talking about quarterback depth charts. This is a pretty good one. And you mentioned Schaub and Rosenfels as a real good one in Texans history. And I agree. I mean, Rosenfels, I believe, still has a winning record. You know, not that many games, but a winning record as a starter for the Houston Texans.
He's the greatest Houston Texans starter ever.
And he won some weird good games. In 07, he beat Tampa Bay and then the Thursday nighter against Denver with Darius Walker as the running back. And they opened the game and they're throwing it and they're looking good. And Rosenfels always said that Kubiak was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
I just talked about the combine. We aired the interview. It was pretty good because he was mentioning that Gary, because of Gary, it made him look better as a quarterback. And other systems were not as quarterback friendly, like going to Minnesota.
The weirdest Sage Rosenfels story I have that's probably entertaining to nobody, except that it was just a weird moment. We were sitting around talking about Cheers in the cafeteria. And it was me and who was that tight end that was here at Kubiak's first year that had come over from Denver?
Putzier. Jeb.
Jeb, who's awesome.
Jeb.
And Sage starts talking about Mayday. He's talking about Mayday, the character on Cheers. And we're looking at him like, who the hell are you talking about? And he's talking about Sam Malone. His nickname had been Mayday Malone when he was a baseball player for the Red Sox.
Nobody refers to him.
No,
that way.
Nobody does. Nobody does. And Jeb looked at him like, Jeb was so disgusted that Sage would try to pass off like, hey, I'm being one of the guys talking about old Mayday Malone. That's one of my enduring memories of Sage. I should have brought that up to him.
I think he pushed Schaub a bit. Not that Schaub was afraid he was going to get replaced, but Schaub was replaced by him several times because of injury, and Sage played pretty well. You know, the Rosencopter game, you guys were talking about that. I mean, they had the big lead. Rosenfeld started that day. Schaub was supposed to start that game. He had an illness or whatever. He really wanted to go, but they're like, no, you get like 100 and whatever fever, and you're not going
to
do it.
He's going to try to do the heroic Hasselbeck move.
Rosenfeld plays, and they play well until like midway through the fourth quarter.
So
maybe 5 minutes left in the game.
We are in day number 11 of NFL free agency. Mike, Seth, and Paul.
Is it only 11 days?
11 days.
Feels like the third month. Oh my gosh.
Well, and now the signings are trickling in most recently. The Colts signing former Chiefs pass rusher Justin Houston. Mark, you've made the comments a few times with us that you feel the Texans have gotten better this offseason.
Yeah.
What makes you convinced of this?
I think they're better in the secondary. I don't think it's a ton, but I think they are better. And I, you know, based on other things that are going to happen as well, guys, I think the draft is going to bring some help on the way here. You know, they're going to draft a corner in the first two or three picks for sure, and I think that should help them. And you know, one draft does not mean Brian Gain is this draft guru expert. You know, just the same thing with Ballard in Indianapolis. Just because he had one great draft doesn't mean that it's always going to work out for him. But I'm confident that Gain with those first three picks is going to be able to do some things.
I'm with you on Ballard, but, okay, you're going to find somebody that will help you out.
I'm giving the benefit of a doubt to Ballard, but not to Gain. I'm not going to do it because it's local.
No, here's my question. Because I, you know what? Maybe he does hit the nail on the head with all those draft picks. But the real question for me is, okay, well, when are these guys helping you out? Because I think we maybe
it
now.
It better be quick. Well, I agree. That's got to be quick.
That's
like
the problem.
Justin Reed last year, that was pretty quick. You need those kind of results from, I would say, two of your first four picks. And one of those guys better be an O lineman.
And I would say
that's scary. The offensive lineman side, like I could buy a corner maybe doing it more
than
offensive lineman.
That's where I'd expect, and it's easier to, especially if it's a guy that's coming. If it's your third corner and you can kind of manage his situations and his matchups more easily, tackle is scary because we saw it with Dwayne Brown. However many sacks Dwayne Brown let up his rookie year,
right. It
was a bunch. That's not the player he ended up being. In today's offensive lineman especially, like Dwayne was at least in a three-point stance in college a few times. These guys are coming in the NFL, and a lot of them have hardly ever even been in a three-point stance. They've got a lot to learn.
It takes a while. And look at them last year. They have to bring in Rankin in the first half, who barely did anything in the preseason and offseason because of the foot thing, right?
I hated
that. So Rankin is there playing left tackle for you at New England, and you lose by 7. I mean, you actually had a shot to win the football game despite all of that. You know, we forget about those kinds of things sometimes.
What's more likely? Oh, go ahead. Paul.
Well, I will say they should have lost by 14. There was an act of God that Riley McCarron muffed that punt. I still can't get over that they punted down two scores.
Should is a word
left.
That shouldn't exist in the NFL. They should have lost all those games. They
Mark,
should have won
least,
all those
at least,
games.
At least agree with me on this.
They should not have been 0-3. They should have been 0-whatever.
What are you thinking of calling the game when they're punting down two scores against the Patriots on the road? Like that to me, I still am mad about that decision.
That means they should have done better.
It was not as close as 27-20 indicated. Here's my point about them being better or not. Here's where I'll agree with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at adding Tashaun Gibson, adding Bradley Roby, I think it would be fair to say that it helps them in some areas that they didn't have last year, in that Gibson is a weapon against tight ends that they can credibly match up against a Gronk and Ertz, who's a better option than Kareem or certainly Tyrann Mathieu, number one. Two, Bradley Roby, I agree with Seth that I can't fully trust him, but Bradley Roby adds needed speed to the secondary, and he's a guy who I can put on some of the faster receivers, and I can at least feel like he can match up. I have said this many times. One of their problems against the Colts and T.Y. Hilton is they literally do not have a player to play against T.Y. Hilton. It was like the Raptors for the last 5 years. They had no player they can – it sounds stupid, but they had no player who could even play on LeBron. Like, they didn't even have a player defensively. You can be like, yeah, this is the style of player that you would play against this kind of guy. So that's what I like from Bradley Roby and Tashaun Gibson.
Yeah, Bradley Roby can stick with Tyreek Hill and players like that, if Tyreek Hill is indeed playing in the National Football League next year. Hey, I'm not saying he could do it 100% of the time and 100% effectively, but you do have a player who could possibly do that now. And you know they're going to add to it some more. I mean, again, you're going to add – look at what they added last year. you know, nobody wants to see, you know, Sharice Wright and Deontay Burton and guys like that play big snap minutes, big numbers of snaps for this team. But you're going to add those kinds of players as well to help shore things up because you're going to have injuries. But watch them draft. You got Roby. I think Brian Body Calhoun can help them out on special teams and maybe a little bit more in the secondary as well.
Okay, so you've signed an extra tight end where you're going to have at least a training camp competition here.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they draft anybody. Shoot, they went into camp with three tight ends last year, right? Did they not? I don't think there was even a roster competition necessarily. I think they went in with three.
I want to say there was one more.
So
yeah, I think they usually have an extra guy.
What do you expect? Do you expect them to sign a running back before the draft, or do you expect them to? What would be more likely in your mind, signing a running back?
I think at this point they draft.
They draft in the third, fourth, or fifth round?
Yeah, because this draft is loaded with running backs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, you know, I know that a lot of people were thinking, well, you know, there are guys out there who are affordable for them. But there are some really attractive players in this draft. And if they really do feel like they think Deontay Foreman's having a nice offseason, you know, so far individually, you know, anecdotally or whatever, that could really be a huge help to them. I'm anxious to hear what Bill O'Brien has to say about it on Tuesday.
And he's going to meet with the media next week at the owners' meetings, the breakfast the coaches have next Tuesday.